Welcome to Consequences of Our Culture podcast. Today is a very special episode. Today, we're going to be talking about churches. And not just churches, black churches. And first off, I'm Randall.
I'm Stephanie.
I'm Amber.
And today, we have a very special guest, a man with a cloth. We went and got a professional. Considering we hang out with people like Amber that are humans. Today we have brother. Excuse me?
My husband did it, but we're trying to do an intro. So
today we have brother John Mackey Jr.
Woo!
We'll be asking him questions about like his call to ministry and, you know, what made this young individual choose this path. So, yeah, that'll be the first question. What made you choose, you know, ministry? What called you to ministry?
I started when I was 15 playing the organ in church. My dad said, you can play the organ or you can work at McDonald's. So, yeah, I just did that.
Those are your two options?
Yeah. That was it.
No, KFC, Burger King, McDonald's.
No, McDonald's.
Wow.
The Oregon on McDonald's. That's why.
That was about 2019, I forgot how old I was. 22, 23, somewhere around that.
Right.
I had a dream where the Lord was telling me, go preach my word. And I said, I don't want to do that. You know, the term, you say, I want to live my best life.
Bless you. Yeah.
Girl.
Listen.
Bossy.
Anyway, you know, you want to do what you want to do when you're in your 20s.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't want to go preach. So, anyway, I did what Lord told me to do anyway. But this, I had no problems yet.
Okay. And you're in music ministry?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you still play the organ?
Yeah, every Sunday.
Okay, but sometimes you're called to preach in front of the congregation?
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Ironically, I'm more comfortable in the pulpit now than playing.
Than playing the organ?
Yeah.
You're more comfortable like talking in front of large groups? Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, how do you
because
cope
you
with
were
it?
Called.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So how do you cope with it? Do you just imagine everyone in your underwear or do you just...
No. Church?
I don't get to in a kilt.
Do you know what a kilt is?
Yeah, like a man's skirt.
Okay, all right, just check.
But when I do preach, I'm real nervous the entire week. But when I stand up to preach, the nerves go away. And I just say, I have fun. I'm not one of them long with the preachers that preach for an hour. I can't stand that. You tell the folks what they need for that week, you get out of that.
Some of the people that will listen to it can't stand it. But, is your dad a member of the cloth also?
He's a drummer.
He's a drummer?
Police officer.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
A police officer?
Yeah.
Oh, Officer Mackey?
Mm-hmm.
That's Officer Mackey at Brubaker.
Is that what it is?
Bald head?
Yeah. He's bald sometimes?
Yeah.
Yo!
I just saw him not so long ago downtown. I love him. That's so good.
That's your dad. Yo.
I look like my mama, but that's my dad.
I always look at your daddy. What does that mean?
She'll
do now.
She said
she's
looking at.
Man, that's crazy, man. That's a small world.
I need to see what
it looks
like.
Me and
my girl, we have
to go
down. Y'all
would go down and save me. Yo, you are fine, okay? Okay, this is a wholesome, like,
right, so because I don't know Officer Mackey and all that. I'm from here, but not really. So I assume then you're saying you're from Montgomery.
Yeah, I lived there all my life.
Oh wow.
Born and raised.
You give me Montgomery vibes.
If you don't mind, yeah. How old are you?
Sorry, take
want to talk like this, Nina? Talk like this.
No, it's not even that.
You talk like you. You're not coming into school.
It's just like, I don't know your demeanor, you have like a calm spirit about you that's, you know, not really what I picture for Montgomery. I'm like, y'all are the exceptions.
What do you picture, Amber?
No, I say y'all live in.
We're the exceptions.
Watch it.
Mound the whole time. Huh? We'll have to pause this.
You just like, when I think about back home, like you're what I picture, you know?
Oh,
like you have a very, like, Let's get back to it.
I would say colorful personality. Thank you, Stephanie. Get back on topic.
But, okay, so Austin Matthews, your dad is pretty cool. All right, so your dad plays in, you know, the same church as you do?
Yeah.
Okay, and so you come from a Christian family, an Olsen family.
So I wanted to ask, like, okay, the differences with going to a black church versus a majority white church, we'll just say that. Because, I mean, they're not necessarily black and white churches, like, nobody else can go there, but, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like, even though we are all of the same faith, like there might be two of the same denominations, I just feel like there's a big difference between being with your people. Like there's still like, there's like that connection you can have that I feel like is better. Cause it's like, I feel like everywhere, at least for me personally, everywhere around you have to be the only one. And in my faith, I don't wanna be the only one. Like I wanna be, you know, comfortable and, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so like, do you feel like there is a big difference between black and white churches? Is that actually a thing, or is that like?
Yeah. We more expressive, I say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shout, have Baptist fits and stuff like that and fall out. And, and talk back to the preacher. I've been to a white church before, and it was pretty boring to me.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
I currently go to a white church, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I would say it depends.
Yeah, some black churches out there, that's boring too. They stay in it too long. That's the only thing for me. I don't like it.
Like,
an hour, that's it.
Thank you. Yes. Get in, get out. Like, it don't need like 3-4 hours to get it into my spirit. Like, you know, I think I got it.
Yeah, I lose focus, to be honest. It don't matter what it's about. After about an hour,
that's my brain. 17 to 20 minutes?
Yeah.
That's it. I don't preach no longer than that. And the song's 5 minutes a piece, you know, we shouting all that stuff. But that should be it.
Yeah.
I don't like being in church all day.
Yeah.
They just seem like a task instead of, you know. Yeah.
And, okay, do you think that that's like, because, like, I feel like this generation, do you feel like we are kind of moving away from church and not wanting that, you know, like I think that us wanting to only be in there for an hour, like is that a problem? Like is it that we, like do you feel like we are moving further away from church, or is it that it's just changing, it's just evolving, it's like just, I don't know if I'm like forming the question, but like, you know, I just feel like we are, this generation, we're definitely moving away from a lot of the traditional ways that our parents and our grandparents, practice their faith, and we are becoming a little more like, you know, like, no, an hour is good, you know. I don't need to be there every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday, sometimes Monday for prayer. Like, you know, it's just like, you know, we're good with Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Some, a lot of folks, I don't even know anybody who really goes to Wednesday night Bible studies anymore. A lot of folks, they really just go on Sunday. So, like, what do you think about that? Like, do you think this is kind of a problem that we...
Tradition. That's one of the big things. Sunday. I grew up in church all my life. We went in that long. You know, we praised the Lord, got out. But some of my friends went to church every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Parents went every day of the week.
Every day of the week? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's church revivals,
Bible study meetings.
Yes.
What new information are y'all getting on Tuesday that you didn't get on Monday?
I have no idea. I wouldn't want
to. Yeah, I was.
The tradition. Right, the tradition. Okay. Doing stuff the same way and expecting different results, which is the definition of insanity. You know, I think that was a problem that we had with COVID. Man, they wiped all of that stuff out.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
tradition, that's one of the biggest things. In our generation, I don't like to say it. We break that traditional line of going more spiritual. I can say it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're definitely we're practicing more of a personal walk with Christ and not a religious, super rigid religion where I have to go to church on this day and this day in order to be in order to be like a good Christian or a good, you believe in. And it's like, I think we're just moving away from that, realizing that it's more about like a personal walk with God and not what it looks like to other people. We know, God knows my heart, He knows, we talk every day. I don't need to be in church, 5 days a week. So.
You can go to church, you can go to hell and go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Religion.
Oh, yeah.
And not knowing God for yourself, that's the biggest thing. Folks know of God because of what the preacher says, but they don't know Him personally for themselves because they don't read the Bible.
Yeah.
Right. Plus to sharpen your soul. I know in slavery times, when, the ones that did have their own churches, and even after that, when we were sharecropping or whatever, like that was kind of an escape from the hazards of everyday life, you could get in there and, you believe in something, you really don't have to worry about drugs do for people, it's a temporary release and escape. And I know that's what we held on to. And I feel like those traditions, have been passed down, for centuries. There's a lot of stuff we carry over from that day and time and stuff like that. But Amber had a question. She's not asking it, but I'll ask it for her. Oh, you're gonna ask it?
I just don't appreciate how you called me out, but
because I'm waiting on it, and it's not.
You had a question?
I did, because, okay, so fun fact, I did not grow up in church, so what y'all are talking about is it's above me. I'm one of those people that shows up every now and again, and the reason why I even go to the church that I do go to is because my teacher recommended it to me, and I'm sounding like such a bad person, but the job I wanted required me to go to church and be a church member.
They required you to go to church?
Well, it was at a Christian college.
Oh.
So I wanted to work there, but that's something that they needed. And so I went there and ended up loving it. So I probably was supposed to be there. But I also randomly fell. I went to this Christian college. Wasn't even trying to go. But they called me out of nowhere and offered me 25% off tuition, and that's how I ended up enrolling there. And she ended up asking me about working there.
Well,
so a lot of things just went.
No. I'm not saying nothing negative.
That was fine. Yeah, we were saying
but that's so now it's like I'm thrown into this world that I never really understood, and I'm like the only adult in there that's literally confused. I also went to a Christian high school for a brief time period. Still, my mom's exact words. I'm going to send you here so you don't get pregnant. I was a whole virgin. I ain't thinking about nothing like that. So that's where I was at. And and multiple times in my life, I'm put into this position where everybody else has knowledge and I'm the one that's confused. So I've had my moments of learning, but I didn't have 20 and 30 years like other people. Like I have brief stints, a year and so. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But my question was, I really don't know the difference between a minister and a pastor.
Minister just preaches. The pastor does all that. He preaches as well as take care of the congregation. Like visit the sick and all of that stuff.
I saw a pastor like
and make sure finances under control. Keep down the mess. With the congregation.
There's mess.
Yeah. He's responsible for everybody in that church, spiritual work.
Okay, so he got to be reaching out and how your family doing. Okay, so he's like accountability coach.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
That's a really cool way to put it.
Good job. We're going to take a short break and we'll resume after this. Welcome back. We're talking about Black churches. Steph, you had a question?
Well, yeah. First, a statement. Like, because I want to go back to Amber. You were saying, like, you feel like because you don't go to church that often, you feel like everybody else knows more because they've been in the church longer and all that. But, and you feel like you're just kind of like behind or like questions you should know or whatever. But I would say, don't like, never feel that way. Like, everybody's on their own journey, their own walk. And to me, from what you said, it sounds like God is talking to you in a different, like, in a way. Like, he kind of, like, just kind of drops these little, like, drops people in your life here and there. And, you know, and kind of brings you back. And, you know, yeah. I think you're just on your own, you know, journey. But I want to go back to, like, with the like culture, as you were saying about like you were kind of thinking like people are not really coming back to church since the pandemic and everything. Yeah. And but I mean, is that a problem? Like, I mean, if they're, are they, from your point of view, are the numbers still there? Are people still like, at least are they tuning in? If they're not there in person, are they at least like, are they actually there online or are they not really logging in?
Well, I think we come to a place of, in our generation, in the world, we want convenience. Mm. So we got these little phones, you know, right here. I can pull it up on Sunday morning. I ain't got to get up and get dressed, nothing like that. Mm. You still getting the word. You know, you still hearing some singing. But to me, it's different being there because you see some funny stuff.
Like what?
Like Big Mama falling down. What? The camera don't catch that. Mm-hmm. You know, shouting. I used to always laugh about that stuff in church. But you know, that's one of the things, convenience.
Quick question, is Big Mama actually big? Because most Big Mamas be skinny. So does Big Mama really fall?
Big Mama fell on me.
I never met a skinny Big Mama.
Yeah, I've never met a skinny Big Mama.
I've met Big Bubba and he's been skinny. But I never, like, you know, people, like, country people say big, you know, oh, Big John.
They want to feel like small. They be tiny all the time.
Like every Big Mama I've seen is big.
Yeah,
and 300 pounds.
Yeah.
convenience. That's it. Because from what I've seen, a lot of churches grew financially. And I think that's because folks were scared they won't die from COVID. But
really?
Wow. They're like, I'm going to make sure I tithe an offering.
But, you know, a lot of churches thrived during that time. They saved on bills because folks went in the church. But I don't think people going away from the church, because the church where I'm at now is, you know, almost full. Mm-hmm. Now the big church is, you know, almost dead too. It's just folks gonna do what they want to do.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
That's true. Mm-hmm. We are moving towards like a more out of convenience type of, you know, culture and stuff. Like you could get in, you know, stuff instantly. Like, you know, you don't even have to like go to the store. You can honestly, if you have a job that works from home, you can honestly be a recluse.
Yeah.
Which it sounds pretty nice, you know, to be honest. But, you know, back to churches. You had another question, Steph?
Yeah, I guess that I've been hearing, who was it? I think it was Donnie McClurkin that like went viral because he was saying something about that these like big award shows that now like they're drinking and all, like, so I feel like we as like the church, do you feel like we are not like really doing our job as the church to be like that light and that salt in the earth? Like, I feel like lately it's just been a lot of scandals, like, you know, we're all kind of not saying, like, I would never judge, obviously, like, we all are on our own paths, whatever, but I just feel like we're not really living the way that Christ would have liked us to, at least the ones that are being, you know, spotlight on them. So, like, do you feel like, I don't know, I guess, what do you think about that?
Oh, that's a lot. well, what folks understand is the people that have those big platforms are regular people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not certified. But anybody with a big following can have anybody agree with them.
They regular people. They drink, they smoke, they stuff, you know, all they weed and all that stuff behind the scenes. But yeah, you know, we got these things right here, cameras. You somebody video you, that's, you know, that's what's the thing called? Cancel culture now?
Yeah.
They cancel you over, you know, you smoking. I preached a sermon about this. It was called Take the Mask Off. We don't show people the real us in church. Mm-hmm. Then we come in dressed in our church clothes, you know, mm-hmm, church hats, shoes and stuff like that. We don't tell folks what we really go through. Like, me as a preacher, I got my own, you know, sins and stuff. I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. And I tell people that. Don't put me on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. You know, put me in the altar and pray for me. Because mm-hmm, I've got problems just like everybody else. Right. But God's holding me to a high standard because I'm responsible for bringing in souls to Him. That's all it is. But, yeah, to get your question, yeah, we lacking as a body of Christ. Because we not letting our light shine.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest.
I mean, how do we know which light that shines is the one to follow? Like, people, like, we don't, everybody read the Bible,
yeah,
interprets it differently. Who is the one that is right that's interpreting it?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we know that's the correct one to follow? I think there's something in the Bible about, like, that, the one that you follow, if they're not doing it correctly, they're more in trouble than you are. And, like,
because they're, what is, like, the leading you
following? I can't think of it right now, but I know what you're talking about.
Mm.
That's a hard one. Everybody think they right. That's why we have denominations. Mm. You know, especially about problems about the baptism. Should you be baptized in the name of Jesus? And should you be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? That's in the Bible. You know, a lot of folks say contradictions, but folks interpret everything differently.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, all of us agree. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe that, you good.
Yeah.
No, you ain't gonna go to hell. You confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, you good.
Yeah.
Only sin is not forgivable in the Bible that I've read was blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is saying, you know, God is a spirit, you're just saying God don't exist. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Don't get into all this religious stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're wasting your time.
I feel like too often, like, when people have, you know, figures of authority, they expect them to be perfect and not human.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you look at a pastor and, you know, if you see a pastor at a liquor store, he's like, oh, you know, this pastor is, you know, not fit to be a pastor. Or if you see, like, you know, a pastor use profanity, you know? Like, or like a person of the cloth, like Kirk Franklin, when he was, you know, cussing out his kid. It was like, oh, you know, right, what up this, but
motherfucker lazy.
But he exactly said it smooth too. You know, he cuss all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He did say it.
But people need to understand that everyone's human and to stop holding people at such a high pedestal, because, like, you know, from person to person, like, we're all the same. Like, we all made mistakes. The only person that, you know, wasn't of sin was Jesus. So, yeah. But
yeah, I think
as a person that goes to church, if they really believe in the church, then they should know that the pastor really is like them. Like, they have to carry that same thought. Like, even my pastor has said that he, you know, battle with depression. He'll say it up there. I battle depression. Sometimes I feel inadequate as a husband, but I do the best I can by my wife. He says those mm-hmm. things so that we remember that, you know, he's human just like us.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It was one thing, too. What folks don't realize is there are three people that I see in the church. You have your unbelievers, those that don't know Christ at all. You have your believers. Those are the ones, you know, like you said, the ones that know the pastor is a human. Then you have your church folks, the people that drive folks away from the church. Mm-hmm. And they put on a camouflage of what holiness is supposed to be. And they don't really know the Bible. Because when I read the Bible, I see myself, you know, the more I read, the more of a sinner that I see myself as.
Mm-hmm.
Folks don't realize that.
Yeah. And I think that's where we have really gone wrong as, like, the church, and is like, it's not so much that, at least in my opinion, I don't think it's so much that we are moving away from the church, or, you know, we don't go to church every Sunday, or, like, I don't necessarily think those are the issues. It's the fact that whenever we are seen, we are not seen loving people. We're always seen judging somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, when you think of a Christian, especially, like, in the U.S., like, that's what you think of. The first thought is, like, oh, judgy, you know. They're not immediate. Like, I can't hypocrite. Go to their... Yeah, hypocrite. Yeah. Can't go to their church because, you know, I'm not really clean enough. Or maybe I'm gay or whatever I got going on. It's like, I can't, like, associate with them because they're just going to judge me. And I really feel like that's where we are failing the most, is, like, is showing that love of Christ and just taking out the judgment, because we are not God and we can't judge them, but just saying, look, I'm gonna love you anyway through that, because that's all I'm supposed to do.
Come as you are.
That's another thing too. They may put sins in different categories.
Yes.
Like, the biggest one now is homosexuality. Mm. I'm not here to judge that brother or that sister that might be in that. You know, if they want to get their life to Christ, that's on them. Like, same for the one that smoked. Well, same one that got drunk. You know, fornication, all of that stuff. Man, you know, all of us are imperfect. I cannot pick and choose which sins, you know, I'm going to tell you about. Right. And them same people, the same ones, be doing the same thing at home. I'm just saying.
Yep. Yeah. That's true. Right.
Yep.
That's all I got.
All right, we're going to take another break. We'll be back. All right, welcome back. We're sorry for taking all these breaks. I got my stuff together. Amber had a question. Go ahead.
Did anyone in here go to a predominantly black church as well as a predominantly white church?
I did.
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah. I know, like, you know, my time, you know, while I was in the Army, and, you know, when I moved around to different places, you really didn't have, you know, a lot of time to, like, look for churches. You were, like, doing stuff during the week, so you get your Sunday, and you just go to, like, the first church, like, you know, your battle buddy, that's what they say, recommends for you. And most of them are, you know, white. They're Caucasian. Like, a lot of the people in my area, you know, were white. I was a unicorn. So, you know, I go to the churches and, like, I'd fill it out. Even if some churches, I'm not going to lie, I didn't, like, necessarily feel. But, like, you know, it's better than, like, not going to a church at all. But black churches, oh, yeah. Like, here, where in Montgomery, where I'm from, I grew up in, like, a very, I say, it's a good black church. In my opinion, the sermons were too long, but that's, like, that's most of them. But the music was on point, though. Like, they had the, like, in their heyday, now they're kind of drying out, but in their heyday, they had, like, the whole choir, they had the pianist, the organ, the whole little section. Like, that's, you know, I feel like church is, like, where you get your rhythm from, you know? Like, you're in church and you're, like, moving. So I just, I'm telling you,
Sister,
like,
Paulette getting down.
Huh?
Sister Paulette getting down.
Man, she's twerking it out.
I mean, a lot of our great singers come out of church. You know?
If you look at, outside of classical music, if you look at modern secular music, it all came from the blues. Mm-hmm. And most of the blues came from the Mississippi Delta. And a lot of people that started the blues started in church. That's where they got it from. That's where the backbone of music in America came from, church, when you think about it. Black churches in the South, Delta, Mississippi. But you said?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've gone to both predominantly black, predominantly white, and I think my first time going to a majority white church was here when we moved here to Montgomery, and I won't say the name of the church, obviously, but we experienced some racism when we first started going. It just was awkward. Like, my whole life at that point, I think I was like 15, my whole life I'd gone to black churches. I'd never been the only one in my place of worship, and at least, you know, and I will say the people, it's like they didn't know they were being racist. Y'all know the kind of racism. It's like, yeah, you know, just like the microaggressions, little things they say that just, you can tell, especially the older white folks, you know, they're nice, so, but they say little things that, you know, like there was one man to this day, sweetest old white man ever. I don't think he has any idea. He's so nice. But talking about my mother, who's the praise and worship leader, still is, and was like, you know, that colored girl sure can't sing. What? I will never forget, y'all, he said that. And
that colored girl sure can't sing?
Because he, and he's old, like old. He honestly did not know. He said it like he thought it was a true compliment, like, because in his time, you know, that's what we were called colored, and you referred to a grown woman as a girl, you know, and he had no idea. And so, yeah, it was an adjustment. I did not understand why my mother wanted us to go there. I was like, this don't make any sense. Where are the black folks? You know, I was like, this ain't my on me. You know, why do we have to be the ones to teach? Like, can it be somebody else? You know, but in hindsight.
Was your mom even offended by that statement?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering, like, because she was a little older, so maybe she didn't even see it as wrong. So
She was. Okay. But I will say, there are, it sucked, like, in the beginning and everything, but I will say, like, looking back on it, I feel like that is just where God wanted us to be. Because a lot of folks were not, like, they weren't exposed to black people. They just, basically,
okay,
you know,
you
and
showed them it's not,
but
just
I mean, but I will say, because of that, because of my experience, even though they are all super sweet people, I still go back. It is my, like, my home church, kind of. So I go back sometimes, and they still send me, you know, cards every year for Christmas and all of that. They're my family, but as an adult, I'm like, I need my people. I need to be around my, and we're not perfect by any means. You know, it was rough first moving here to Montgomery and speaking the way I do in the South. But at the end of the day, I need my people. And like, I have to be the only one outside of here. Everywhere I go, you know, I'm typically the only black face in the room. So like, where I worship, I'm like, I need my people. And he's like, you said, the music is just better.
Ooh.
The music is just, there's that soul, you know, they try, they jump around, you know, and everything, they dance and stuff too, but it's just not the same. It just does not hit the same. So yeah, I need my black churches, or at least a good, you know, diverse group, you know, of everybody. But
okay, well, that does it.
Okay.
Do you guys have anything else to say? No.
Oh, thanks for having me on here.
No, most definitely. Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
You're competent and you spoke clearly and stuff. Yeah. Like that. Really appreciate that.
Very low bar here.
Man of the cloth. Man of the cloth.
Yeah, no, it was really nice having you.
Yeah. Well, in closing, you know, church is really, you know, what you make it. We're all just trying to be more like Jesus and, you know, become closer to God. So if you're like more of the, you know, I like to watch Creflo Dollar, you know, on my phone, or, you know, TD Jakes, or if you're more of the, I need to, you know, be surrounded by these people. And, you know, like Steph said, it's important to go with people that you're relatable to. If you feel like you're more comfortable, church it, feel like, you know, kind of like family, like not like super close, not in my opinion, not like super, like I don't want everyone at my house or anything, but like, but you know, I know you well, you know, you know them for years, but make sure, you know, you take church for what it is, and that's a place to worship God. And that does it. I'm Randall.
I'm Stephanie.
I'm Amber.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.